Well, over this incredible Advent season, we have been celebrating. We've been celebrating this arrival of Christ. And we've been asking ourselves this question, what is it that we really want for Christmas? Not the toys and the technology and not the jewelry and not the other things that come with it, but what are the deepest longings of our heart? What are the things that will stick with us? I mean, we all have had Christmas gifts that, you know, they've just sat in the garage and wasted away, and they end up in garage sales, right? But what are those things that will really stick with us? And over the last few weeks, we've been talking about all that we really want for Christmas is hope. There was a hope of a family being together, a hope of a cure. There were hopes for so many things. There was the desire for joy, that we wanted joy in our lives, that we wanted to be together and that everyone would just get along, right? Then we talked about our desire, all we want for Christmas is peace. And couldn't we all use just a little bit more of that in our lives? And today, this Christmas Eve morning, we're talking about the fact that all we really want for Christmas is love. Now, I don't know about you, but do any of you have a favorite Christmas ornament? Do you have you can participate this morning. You have a favorite Christmas ornament? You know, the one that you dig through the boxes to make sure gets on the tree. Anybody like me got one of those? Yeah. I mean, I do. Here it is. Here it is for me. Yeah. That is as one of my most important Christmas ornaments. And the reason that this is a special Christmas ornament for me is that I had been dating Brenda for quite some time, and it was getting pretty serious, but I was in college and things like that. We'd spent some time apart and things, and I wanted to do something on this one Christmas that would be really special, and I talked to, you know, I heard her mention something, and then I heard one of her friends mentioned something, so I'm thinking, oh man, the word's getting out, and so I decided to get her what we called a promise ring. Okay, it was the kind of a like I've still got a couple years left of college, and I don't have any money. Kind of maybe we'll probably get married later. Kind of ring, right? And so I went to the store and I bought this thing and I brought it back and I thought, well, what's the proper etiquette for giving a promise ring? You know, the whole getting down on one knee, you know, and stuff like that. That would have to wait for the actual engagement ring. So I thought, there's no real etiquette for this. I don't know what to do. And so kind of in a quick thing on Christmas morning, I grabbed this Winnie the Pooh ornament because Brenda was a preschool teacher. She loved children and stuff. So I grabbed the first thing that made sense, and so I grabbed Winnie the Pooh, and I stuck this ring on this ornament. And then in a little box under the tree, I said, Winnie the Pooh has your Christmas present. And I was excited. Up until that point, I had never spent so much money on anyone or anything. And I was pretty excited about what her expression would be. I was pretty excited for the big kiss I knew that I would get when she saw it. I was pretty excited about that present. And you know, most of you know Brenda, and most of you that know her would probably say, you know, she's pretty gentle and mild, but she about tore that Christmas tree apart. And then she found it. And this Christmas tree ornament has been with us ever since, and it holds a special place in our lives. And the reason that it does is because this ornament tells a story. It tells the story, this kind of beginnings of this story, our story, a love story, that now after 30-some-odd years, God is still writing the story for us. And we're excited, and every time we see that ornament, it reminds us of this love that God has blessed us with for one another. And really, when you stop and you think about it, that's really what the story of Christmas is all about. The story of Christmas is this love story. It's a story that promises God's love to us and then promises us this amazing future together with Him. And that's exactly what this Christmas story is. And so typically when we look at the Bible and we go to read the Christmas story, we might turn to Matthew. In the Gospel of Matthew, you remember there's four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that tell the story of the life of Jesus. And Matthew tells the Christmas story from the perspective of Joseph, and then he talks about the wise men. Luke tells the story kind of from Mary's perspective, when the angel comes to Mary, and then Augustus's census, and then the shepherds in the fields, and that's the part that Luke tells us about the story. Mark doesn't tell the story at all. He just hurries up to Jesus' ministry. And then John, if you read through John, you might think that he's not telling the Christmas story, but he really is. He jumps into what we call the incarnation, where he says in John chapter 1, verse 14, he says, "And the Word became flesh." Jesus became flesh, and he dwelt among us. The Message translation puts it this way. He says, "God became flesh and blood, and he moved into the neighborhood. He came to be with us." But if I had to pick just one verse that would encapsulate all that Christmas really means, it would actually come from the Gospel of John, and it's a verse that many of you know pretty well. It's John 3:16. That says, "For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." This truly is an amazing gift that we get every Christmas. I mean, it starts out and he says, "For God so loved the world." See, God loved. And that's really who God is. See, our world is desperate for love, aren't they? I mean, there's songs about love, cards about love. Did you know that there's over 2,500 dating sites on the internet for people who are looking for love? And sometimes we're looking for love in all the wrong places. And sometimes we get confused about what love is. And we have holidays. We have a specific holiday that celebrates love. Do you remember which one is that? Yeah, you would say Valentine's Day. But at the core, I would really say that the holiday that really teaches us the most about love is Christmas. Because God so loved the world. Oftentimes in history, and way back in the ancient times, there's always been questions about who God is and how we got here and what's our relationship to him. And in so many of those stories, God is portrayed as this kind of mean overlord kind of God that's just waiting up there ready to zap people when we mess up. And that's the picture that so many people get of who our God is. Okay, he's just waiting for us to misbehave, and then he's going to take us out. And the reality is that the Bible tells a much different story about who God is. You see, he didn't come to be ready to zap us. He didn't come to discipline us, to tell us how bad we were. He didn't come ready to tell us that we didn't measure up. We kind of already know that. No, God came to love us. He came to show us that he loved us. In fact, I like the way Max Lucado says it. He says this. He says, "Jesus did not come to demand our allegiance, but to display his affection." And I hope you sense his affection for you this morning, because if there's nothing else you get at Christmas, I hope it's a sense that you know that you have a God that desperately loves you, because God loved the world so much. And the question this morning is this: do you know how much that God loves you? Do you know what he's willing to do in order to show you his love? Because you have to look no further than the manger in Bethlehem. And remember that God's not upset with you. He's not disappointed with you. He's not ready to zap you or wanting nothing to do with you. God loves you so much. That word "so" is in there for a reason. He loves you so very much that he wrapped in swaddling clothes the most precious gift that he could possibly give. God loved you. And he loved you so much that he gave his only Son. See, God loved and then God gave. Giving is what love does. I mean, it's what caused me to give Brenda a promise ring. It's what causes me to continually want to give and to give to those that I love. And the Bible tells us that God is love. And love gives. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, it tells us, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Our God is a giver, not a taker. And many people think that God's a taker. They think that God is here to take things away from them, to take away their independence, to take away their fun, to take away their money, to take away their freedom, to take all kinds of things away from them. But our God's not a taker. The question isn't, what does God want from you? The question is, what does God have in store for you? You see, God could take anything he wants away from us at any time. And he would be totally justified in doing that because, after all, he gave us everything that we have. But instead, he gives. And he continues to give, and he gives more. And when our sin separated us from him, well, he just couldn't stand the thought of an eternity without us. And so he paid the ultimate price to redeem us. And only he could save us. I remember taking an EMT class. And as part of the EMT class at the beginning, you know, you learn basic stuff. You learn CPR. How many of you have taken a CPR class before? Yeah. Now, one of the unique things about taking a CPR class, I remember in this EMT class, was that we did a lot of practicing. And I never really saved anybody, but I practiced a lot. And what was unique is you're usually, if you're in one of those classes, you're practicing on people who don't really need to be saved, right? And I don't know if you've ever done that before, but when somebody doesn't really need to be saved and you're trying to save them, they get a little combative. And so you're sitting there like not just doing CPR, you're pushing them, kind of going, hey, come on, let me save you. And what I've discovered in some of those classes that when people don't realize they need saving, they kind of push back when somebody wants to help. And that happens to us sometimes. See, God has come and he said to us so much, I want to love you, I want to give my love to you, and you need saving, but sometimes we just don't think we do. But this morning, I hope that you realize that God loved you so much that he gave his only Son so that he could save you. And we might try to save ourselves sometimes. And maybe every once in a while you can pull it off. You might be able to save yourself from a failed test or a career failure. You might be able to kind of make it up from a financial collapse or a collapsing marriage, but you aren't good enough to save yourself from sin. You aren't strong enough to save yourself from death. You, my friend, you and me, we both need something desperately. We need a Savior. And because of what God gave at Christmas, you have one. He gave you his only Son. He gave you part of himself. And for us, Jesus left the throne of heaven, the seat of glory, and he came from heaven to earth for us so that whoever believes in him, whoever believes in him, that's our part. You see, God loved and God gave. Now, our part is that we believe. At Christmas time, there's signs all over the place that say believe. Have you seen them? They just say believe, and with one word, it kind of resonates. But it means something different for different people. For some, it means believe, like in Santa. Some, it means believe in the Christmas spirit. Believing is what children do at Christmas. They have this deep-seated trust that someone is going to come through for them on Christmas morning, right? And on this Christmas Eve morning, we want to come through for our kids. So I need 10 children helpers, okay? So I need 10 people who are like 10 and under-ish, okay? Come on up. We got the kids in here with us. So yeah, come on up. And each of you grab one of these boxes and just sit on the steps, okay? Here we go. Oh man, I didn't get enough boxes. Okay, that's all right. Okay, we're good. That's okay. Don't worry. That's okay, you can sit and help, okay? I love it. It's okay, hey, just sit right there and you can help. Okay, so just be patient, all right? I love it. Man, they're cute. See, children have this awesome way of trusting. I mean, don't you love it when your children, when you're like in a pool and you put your hands up and they just jump knowing that you're going to catch them? I mean, they just trust. But as we get older, someone lets us down and we get dropped. And trust becomes a little bit more difficult for us. And I think the biggest problem for many of us, even at Christmas time, is we measure trust by our own trustworthiness. And I think the number one reason that Jesus came the way that he did was to prove that God keeps his promises. Jesus fulfilled hundreds of prophecies to show us that God always comes through just the way he says he will. And he came to a harsh, smelly stable to show you how low he was willing to go to bring everything for us. I mean, everything. He left everything to bring us everything. And since you couldn't save yourself and because you couldn't pay the price, Jesus came as the gift. And Jesus didn't come with a list of things that you had to do. Rather, he came with a list of things that he had already done. Your sins paid for. Your death defeated. Your questions, he answers them. Jesus came to lift your burdens, not to add to your burdens. All you have to do is believe. And whoever believes, the Bible tells us, shall not perish, but have eternal life. You see, when we believe, we receive. I mean, God has given us the most incredible gift we could ever receive, but how many people have actually opened the gift? Have you truly opened the gift in your heart of Jesus this morning? Jesus can give it all he wants, but until we actually open the gift, it's really not ours to enjoy. So kids, you've got gifts, right? You guys know what to do, right? Go for it. Yeah. I love how polite they are. Can we open it? You see, just like that promised ring that I gave Brenda, God promises his promise of love for us. And he promises an awesome future that we have together, but we have to open it. You see, we've been giving you survival tips this Christmas, okay? And the first survival tip that I would give you this Christmas is number one, is this. Whatever you do, receive the gift of Jesus. Okay, now put them back in the box. We're going to give them out in just a second. You got to love kids at Christmas, right? The first holiday tip is this: receive the gift of Jesus. If you haven't done that already, then we want you to receive it. And if you've already received it, well, I think the kids taught us a good lesson at Vacation Bible School. A couple years ago, Vacation Bible School, the title was GLOW, stood for Go Light Our World. And if we have the gift of Jesus, if his love is truly living in us, then 1 John 4:11 says this: dear friends, since God loved us, we ought to love one another. And so this morning, we want you to glow with the love of Jesus. And so the kids are going to help us. Parents, make sure you keep an eye on yours, okay, because they're going to go run around here and hand stuff out in a minute. And so guys, I think Mr. Curtis is in here somewhere, and he's going to help you know where to go. And what I want you to do is take what you've got in your boxes and go hand them out to everybody in the room, okay? Well, then you could take a few out, share them, and then just go give them to everybody, all right? Oh, is it being a pain? You can just pop it. There you go. All right. So you guys know how this works, right? You just pop the little things and let them light. You see, the most important thing that happens at Christmas is that we stop and we realize this incredible love that God has for us. And there is one ornament on our tree at the Lamont home that is one ornament that's more important than Winnie the Pooh. Only one. Okay? The only ornament that's more important is the ornament that we hang at the very top of the Christmas tree, just under the star. And every year we dig it out. And our tradition in the Lamont home is that we have an ornament of the Nativity. And the rule is that there's no other ornament that's allowed to be put on the tree higher than the Nativity ornament. Because above everything else that happens at Christmas, Christ is above every single bit of it. And there's only one love that I know in this world that is greater than the love that God's given me for Brenda. And that's this. It's the love that God has for each one of you. And so our greatest holiday gift to you this Christmas, our greatest holiday tip is really this. Receive the love of Jesus Christ. And if you've received it, then would you shine that light and would you share that love with others? If you got your stick, hold it up, all right? The kids already taught us what to do, okay? So let's celebrate this Christmas and let's go light our world with the love of Jesus and remind everybody that our God is a God who saves. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, you are good. And we love you. We thank you for the gift of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for all that you have done for us. Father, we pray that we would recognize, understand, and live in your love, and that, God, we would be excited to share it with others. And we pray this in the powerful name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.